Wow, what a great turnout. Thank you so much, and I apologize to those who didn't get food. I guess we all thought you wouldn't be hungry after Thanksgiving, but my name is Lynn Travers, and I am the Recruiting and Professional Development Manager at Bryan Cave. I've been at Bryan Cave for almost 15 years, and I've been in recruitment for 25, three major firms, two in California, and moved to Phoenix about 8 years ago. So I've been in this realm for long enough to have seen quite a bit. The things that you hear today are things that might seem common sense to you, but most of the mistakes that I'm going to talk about are actually things that have happened. So believe it or not, things that students will do. I know that Career Services, and thanks very much to Dean Lawson for inviting me. This is a great pleasure to be at Virginia today. It's a beautiful day for me because I'm used to sunshine all the time, so clouds are great. What we're doing here today is to clean up some of the things that you might make mistakes of assuming are true in the interview realm. I know that Career Services have talked to you about paper presentation, you've worked on your resumes, you've worked on your cover letters, you've worked on your writing samples, and you're nervously getting ready not only for finals, which frankly are more important, but also to that magic kickoff date of December 1st when you're allowed to connect with the firms and start the process of getting an internship of some kind for next summer. I want you to ask questions because it's a lot more fun for me, and it's helpful, more helpful for you if you do, and I do have prizes. These are very cool pens. They have post-its in them, so if you ask a question, you get a prize. All right. On your paper, just briefly on your paper product, as you are preparing for this magic date, make sure that you're sending the paper to the right person. Your Career Services office can help you with that. The NELP website can help you with that. We're always adjusting those. Any place you want to apply, you can direct it to the right person, and we're going to be referring to that person throughout the presentation today as the point person or the recruiting manager or the HR manager, because that person is going to guide you through your process with whatever the employer is. Okay, so we're going to get started. I'm going to find my deal here. As you are preparing to send out your mailing, take a look at the rest of what's out there about you. Do you have a blog? Do you have a website? Do you have a MySpace page? And either privatize it or clean it up a little. Make sure that there's not 24 bottles of beer around you on a picture on your MySpace page. And most of all, it's fine if you do that for yourself, but if there's a classmate in the picture with the University of Virginia sweatshirt on, you probably don't want to do that because that person is also conducting a job search and you don't want to have an impact on them. Okay? You want to buy a good interview suit, and believe me, you'll use it throughout, you know, until it wears out. But at least one, if you don't have a good suit, you want to make sure you have one for the women, a professional outfit of some kind. It can be pants. It doesn't have to be a matching suit. And we'll ask questions later about that. We'll get into this more directly. But as you're preparing to send out these things, be prepared totally. Be accessible. So you send out your mailing and you go on a ski trip, or you disappear into the library for finals, which is more likely, and people start calling you, hopefully right away, and they aren't able to reach you. So that's not great. You want to make sure that you have connections, and that means on your resume, on your cover letter, all of your information needs to be correct, current, and consistent. Make sure it isn't a leftover resume from another job search previously where you have an old email address. Probably want to try to use your Virginia email consistently throughout so people are able to reach you. And make sure that when they call or when they write or when they email, you get it right away. And that means, right away means probably not right away. Don't panic, because what firms are doing in your process is, first of all, let me see how many 1Ls are here. Is everybody 1L? I guess so. Okay. In your process, people are going to be gathering resumes for a little while. We'll assume that we will see you at holiday break, probably. That's the first opportunity. We'll have to see you and you'll have to see us. And so we're gathering all the resumes together that we get in a flood after December 1st, and then we're going to connect with you. Okay? So what that means is it's going to be probably at least 2 weeks, but is it okay to connect with your potential employer after 2 weeks? Yes. And you can do that by email or by phone. I like phone because it's more personal. It's helpful for us to, because if you're a little bit patient, because we have a stack like this on our desks at this time of year, and we want to make sure that we get you. Now, that phone call might actually be the impetus for us to invite you in. Oh, yeah, so this one. Yes, I like that. And it makes us know that you're interested, so it's important to us that you call and make sure we got it. I mean, it may have gone astray. Who knows, in the holiday rush. Does anybody have questions about timing or prizes for questions? Okay. All these people, and I'm going to talk today, okay? All right, so squeaky wheel, you want to make sure that you get to us in, you know, after 2 weeks. Start gently asking, what's the process? How long till I hear from you? Did you get my resume? And then make sure that your email and voicemail are professional. Make sure that you don't have jumpsuit apparatus or one of those other groups on playing, you know, as your cell phone comes on. You want to make sure that it's professional, and that if there's someone who has access to your phone or to your cell phone or any other of your communication devices, that they know you're conducting a job search. A roommate, a sister, a baby sister, a mom, you need to have that information right away. So important for you to communicate to all around you, all in your intimate circle. Okay, so when you get an invitation, unless anybody has questions about preparing. No questions? Okay. When you get an invitation, what do you do? Timing your interview. We want to make sure that you have enough time, and I'm assuming that everybody is, or most people are going away for their job search. Could I see who's looking for a job other than in Charlottesville, Virginia? Okay. Could I hear some destinations?
D.C.
Salt Lake.
Dallas.
Chicago.
New York.
Charlotte.
Cleveland.
Okay. That's great. Are you going to be there during the holidays? Nodding. Okay. That means that in your cover letter, you need to tell whoever the employer is when you will be there. It goes in a different stack. Tell us specifically when you're going to be there. If you have more than one destination city, that's kind of rough, because obviously you're not going to be there. If you have a couple of breaks, then you might want to plan to be in each location. We don't pay to bring you to our cities during this particular process. As a 2L, all bets are off. We're going to pay for everything, but not this time. We don't like you to spend money to come and see us, because we could get into an unfortunate situation, such as we are the only people you're interviewing with, we're the only employer you're seeing, and you spend a lot of money to come, and then you don't get the job. That's really uncomfortable for us, and of course it's expensive and useless for you, except for the practice, which is always great. But you want to make sure that everyone is comfortable. And what we're talking about here in the interview process is making the employer comfortable and having it easy for you to get through the interview process. The easiest person, all of your package is complete, you're going to be there, all we have to do is say, show up at this time. That makes it easy for us, and that makes it more for you able to get there, get the interview, have it work for you. Questions about that? Yeah.
Say you're not going to be in a certain place, but you could, thank you, you can set aside a certain period of time. Say you're applying to a number of firms in the city, but you decide should you block out maybe a week and,
I block out a week.
If you don't have any other reason.
He wants to know how much I'm repeating for the recording. He wants to know how much time you should block out and plan to be in a city. I would block out a week because it, you know, everything you can do to make it easier for the employer makes it easier for you. Questions? Okay, how long will the interview take? If you are really lucky to have a couple of interviews, but the only time they both can see you is in the same day, as a 1L, that's a good idea. As a 2L, that's a terrible idea because you're going to have a different kind of interview. As a 1L, you probably will see, if it's a law firm, you'll see 3 or 4 or 5 people at the most. In the judge, for a clerkship, you'll probably meet the clerks, and then you'll meet the judge in chambers. For another employer, it's just maybe an hour. But you need to ask the point person, the HR manager, the recruiting manager, how long will this take? And then add an hour, because if they really like you and suddenly they decide there's somebody else that you need to see, then they will add on. And that's a good thing. You want to be available for that. So be careful. If you're scheduling 2 in a day, be careful of making it too close together. Okay, and that's what that too long is about. All right, so get directions. Even if it is a building that you have been in 100 times, and you have parked in their parking lot 100 times, ask where the parking is and ask whether it will be reimbursed or you will be validated. You don't want to have the end of the day come and find out that you have to pay and you have to ask the interviewer for some cash to get your car out of the garage. That's not going to be fun. So you want to make sure who to ask for. Is it the point person or is it another person? Is there another person guiding your interviews other than the point person? Make sure you ask who the interviewers will be. And then do your research. You're on websites. You're on Martindale Hubbell. You're on the web in many other ways. If it's an employer, another employer, you can ask for your services. Where is a good website? I can look up the people. And the reason is that you want to have some information about the interviewers. It helps us to know that you're interested in us. You know, there's one of the greatest things that you can do to make yourself look great to an employer is to look interested. And the way you look interested is to have some information about the firm, about the judge, about their clerks, about the company, about where they're based. And the way you do that is do your research and you ask the point person for that. And they should be able to give it to you within a reasonable amount of time, although sometimes it's going to be 24 hours before your interview, because that's the way lawyers are anyway, is trying to herd them together to get the interviews together. Okay. Extra copies of your resume and transcript are great, because sometimes the copier or the email or something else eats them, and we love to have an extra copy. Also, if you're in front of an interviewer and that person is pulling your paperwork out of their desk and they're searching around, they'd be very grateful if you had an extra one just to hand them. Again, it makes you look professional. Be on time. Please be on time. If you are more than 15 minutes early, there's a Starbucks on every corner of every business building in the country. Go there, have a non-caffeinated drink, chill out, relax, and wait until about 15 minutes before or whenever you feel comfortable going up. Please don't be late. Please don't be late. It's, again, another thing that makes you look less than professional. Always look professional. Remember, we talked about the suit. You want to feel the part. Many employers now are business casual all the time. We are. Brand Cave has been business casual for a number of years. And on Fridays, sometimes it's a little bit downplayed from that. You may be there on a Friday, but if you're in a suit, you're going to feel the part. Again, this is something to make you feel comfortable. You feel like you're professional and you deserve the job. Questions about the interview? Oh, come on. Nobody has any questions? All right. Okay, the interview meal. There may not be many chances as 1Ls to get a meal along with your interview. That comes later when we force feed you until you can't eat anymore, and then we force feed you again once you're employed. But there may be, as you conduct this job search, an interview meal involved. how do you become comfortable? If you are uncomfortable with etiquette of any kind or forks or silverware or any of that, I'm not going to go into that now, but there are websites that tell you how to do that. If you aren't comfortable with chopsticks and it's a Chinese restaurant, that's fine. It's not a check against you to say you'd like a fork. You might want to go home and practice, but don't worry about that. But if you are uncomfortable about ordering, the easiest way to take care of that is to pass if the server comes to you first and pass to the next person and see what other people do. And I should remind you that at this point, this is not the time to order the salad, the appetizer, the entree, and the dessert. There will be other times for that. I know you're all starving students and you want to eat, but you're not going to eat anyway because you're going to be talking and you're going to be on your game. And so you want to make sure that you're eating something that's comfortable for you to eat. If you have trouble with pasta management, don't eat pasta. Wait until, pass again when the server comes to you first, pass and say, I'm not quite ready. Let's see what the other people at the table are ordering. And then you have sort of a clue as to what, you know, what is fitting. Now, if they're ordering alcohol at this stage, unless it's a dinner and you want a small glass of wine, I probably want to avoid that at this stage. Again, you want to be on your game. There was a time when gin and tonic was the lunch drink, interview drink of choice, but those times are gone. So we want to make sure that, again, you are the person they want to hire. Okay. Friends, if you are in a city that you know, and which you likely will be, and there are friends across the room, perhaps at another interview lunch, and this might happen more commonly in your second year, then please resist the urge to get up and go over and spend 20 minutes talking to them. And again, this is something that happens to us often. So I know it sounds ridiculous, but don't do that. And again, if you're at an event during the summer and you see friends at an event, a ball game, something like that, and they're with another law firm, again, resist the temptation to go up and sit with them for half an hour and desert your host, who is probably a partner and will be very annoyed. If the table, and I spend a lot of time with this because all of these things can have an impact on your job search, if the table consists of partners, associates, etc., don't spend your entire time talking to the partner or the most senior person. And ignoring the associate. Most of the employers at this stage are very uncomfortable with that. They don't like people who pay attention to the senior person at the exclusion of the junior person. Likewise, please don't speak to the man as opposed to the woman. It's a similar impact. Questions about meals? Yes.
How's that different than, just say, just a more casual interview than previous interviews you've had?
The purpose of the lunch dinner. What a great question. The purpose of the lunch dinner interview is to see you in a different setting. It is part of the interview. And I should mention at this point that everything you do and say during your interview process is going to be analyzed as, can I place this person in front of a client? Or can I place this person in front of the president of the company? Or can I place this person in front of the jury? Or can I place this person in front of my other clerks? You are being examined as a person who is going to be presentable and professional and represent the company, the firm, everyone else in a professional way. And so meals are part of that. Does that help? Yeah. Anything else on that? Okay. All right, firm culture. It is your interview too. This is really important. It's not just the employer, because the way we define success as an employer is that you're successful and that you're happy. So as you are entering the workplace, pay attention. Are the doors open? Do the lawyers interact with staff in a congenial way? Do they interact with subordinates in a congenial way? Are they formal? Do they wear suits all the time? How do they address each other? And bottom line, are you comfortable in that situation? Because if you're not, eventually, you're not going to be comfortable working there. Pay attention. The workplace now is multi-generational. Bad news, the boomers and the Xers are partners now, and you're going to have to deal with that for a while, just for a little while. We're all trying frantically to adjust to a more flexible workplace. We have an emergency child care center on site. We have flex time. We have partners who work flex time. We have men and women who work flex time. We send people to clients to live and work and give them full credit. Look for those kinds of things, and I'm mentioning what we do because those are the kinds of things you should be looking for to see how people are trying to adjust to your way of doing things in the workplace and to, again, make you more comfortable. But how are you more comfortable? When you're working in the environment, don't make some of the mistakes that others have made, such as, you know, deciding that a piece that you've written, which was criticized by a partner, is okay anyway and turning it in. I mean, you should take suggestions. You should be guided, let yourself be guided by everything you see. And again, we're talking about paying attention. It's all in how you present your personal preferences in the workplace. If you're going to blog during working hours, it's probably a career-limiting move. Had that happen 2 summers ago, so didn't get an offer either. It wasn't because of that. But questions about those things? All right. Okay, finally, we're at the interview. You've made it. You're in. You're talking. You're at the receptionist's desk. Be very careful how you treat the receptionist. I just read an article in the American Lawyer where a very prestigious partner with a huge book of business went to a law firm and had an interview and was rude to the receptionist and did great the rest of the day. And when the receptionist reported his rudeness, he did not get a job. So very, very important. You never know what you're walking into. And again, until you walk those hallways, you're not going to have much of an idea. Okay, again, are we going to be able to present this person to a client? So, handshake. I'm going to have to get you guys to participate. My name's Lynn Travers.
I'm Joey. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you,
Joey.
Joseph Cohen. Very smart. My name's Lynn Travers.
Hi, I'm Ken Duvall.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Don't do this. Hi, my name is Lynn Travers. We hate that. Guys, women don't like that. Please don't do that, okay? You're going to step in to the person, grip their hand firmly, eye contact, state your name. You going to want a pen? He gets a pen because he was first. There you go. Okay, be prepared to talk about your resume. Please don't put things on your resume that are obscure to you. Such as your thesis in college, unless you've read it recently, or the time you managed a booth at the campfire event and put it on your resume and like a fundraising thing, like you led the thing and then get questioned about it and have to admit that all you did was run a booth. You don't want to do that. Don't put acronyms on your interests. Do put interests because, you know, we want to know what you're interested in. We might even put you with an interviewer that has a similar interest, and then you'd have something to talk about. What a concept. But be careful. Everything on the resume, many people feel, is fair game, even though it technically isn't. Most interviewers that you're going to run up against aren't really trained. So anything you put there is something for them to grab onto, and so you want to make sure that whatever's there, you can articulate. We are getting into these behavioral interviews, and what that means is that we probably won't be asking you about law school. And there's actually quite a movement about behavioral interviewing. So you're going to be asked about jobs that you had a long time ago. They're on your resume. That's a big clue to behavioral interviewers about what they can ask you about. So sit down. My suggestion is to sit down and make a minute and a half talk about yourself that doesn't have to do with law school. This is going to serve you well as in a reception, anytime you're meeting someone, in your trade association, you're building clients. You can use this forever. A minute and a half about you that is interesting. It has to do with who you are, something that describes you, and practice it on each other. Get good at it, because you'll use that again and again and again, and especially as people are getting into the behavioral interviews. Be careful with your body language. If you're going to be slouching in the chair or crossing your legs, you could fall asleep. It's happened. Falling as you get to the door, you know, coming up with something brilliant to say, like, please give me a job. But you don't want that to happen if you can avoid it. Sit straight in the chair and please make eye contact, because, you know, we have students come in and they stare out the window and they stare at the wall, and it comes out in the evaluations. Make eye contact. Be careful of slang and jargon and too many cools and yeah-mans and whatever. And this is especially hard if the interviewer is using that language at you. Stay away from it, because you'll fall into the habit. And then the next thing you know, who knows what could happen? I mean, actually, there are people out there, and they're not in our firm, but there are people out there who could, in fact, use some language at you, and you might feel like in order to be accepted by that person, you need to use it back. Don't do that. Don't do it. Okay. All right, post-interview. There is life after the interview. It does get easier with time. It really does. And so you want to be practicing anytime you have a chance. Anytime Career Services gives you an opportunity to do mock interviews, you should do them. Even if you think that you're the greatest. I mean, some of you had probably had great resumes, what you thought were great resumes, until Career Services ripped them apart. because they don't look like lawyer resumes. The same thing has to do with interview skills. Some of those interviews are nothing like anything you've had before. Post-interview. Okay, again, you are one else. The process is a little bit different for you. It may take a while before you hear back from the employer, because most of the time the employers are waiting for people to come in so they have a critical mass of candidates to make decisions on. They also, I have to tell you, really do want grades before they make final decisions. Dean Lawson, when do grades come out?
Not until the middle of February. So
okay.
There are plenty of, firms are kind of mixed. Like, some will wait until then to make offers, but others will go ahead and make them before you have any grades or any transcripts. So
right.
It really varies on the firm and the city, and it just depends.
Yeah. So don't be upset if they're going to wait. A lot of them will wait for grades. And unfortunately, actually, mid-February is not bad. There are some schools where the faculty isn't chastised if they get them in March. So that's pretty ugly. Hopefully, people don't have to wait that long in comparison to other candidates. But that could happen. Be anticipating that. Thank you notes are... We get lots of thank you notes, okay, and email is okay, I think. And I also think hard copy is okay. It's a little old-fashioned. Try not to use the puce or the magenta. You just want some plain, professional stationery that you can get at any stationery store to send thank you notes. Now, how do you send a thank you note that's going to make a difference? The way to do that is not what I got a lot of this fall, which is an email to me, the point person, saying, thank George, Pam, Sherry, Erica, Kim for my interviews for me. Because, you know, I'm busy and I'm probably not going to forward that, and it probably wouldn't have an impact anyway. During your interviews, you're going to be remembering things about your conversation. Now, if you want to take notes, it's okay, but make sure and ask permission before you do. It's just polite. It's just professional. If you don't want to take notes during your interviews, at the end of the day, you're going to sit down as quickly as you can, go back to that Starbucks, and this time you can have a caffeinated drink, and write and write and write and write and write. Write about each person, write about what you talked about, and the effective thank you note is just a couple of lines, but includes something about the conversation. Any questions about thank you notes? Because... Yep.
Actually, this is about the raise and all.
That's okay, too.
A number of firms on the NOW directory have indicated that they don't even want us to send them any kind of communication before our grades are out.
Oh, okay.
Should we take them at their word, or should we go ahead and email them now?
That's interesting. So there are firms, is that right? There are firms that don't want anything until grades are out.
I haven't
seen that before.
A small handful have said, you know, wait till grades.
Then I would, if they thought enough of it to put it on their NALP form where they have limited space, then I'd listen to them. Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Doug. Should you try to send them individually to the lawyers, or should the people who interviewed you, or should you still send it to the point person?
I would try to send them to the individual lawyers. And again, you've got your list. Ask the point person for your list. I always give it out at the beginning. Okay, but not everybody does. In fact, I sit down before all the interviews and talk to them about every person and give them some insight just in case they haven't done their research. Okay, but not everybody does. Very few do, in fact. So all you'll have to go on is your conversation with them during the interview. So you're all incredibly smart, or you wouldn't be here. You can remember. Yep.
Along the lines with the grades question, if we don't have any grades, should we still send a resume or a transcript, or should we just wait and have it sent in February?
Do you mean an undergrad transcript?
No. I mean, I assume it doesn't do any good when they know what classes we're taking anyway.
Yeah, everybody is pretty standard.
We should just forward that along.
They know we haven't fortunately reached a point yet where people aren't trusting that you're actually enrolled in law school. I mean, all of the layers of things that we ask for have been created because people have done nasty things, okay? But we haven't gotten to that point yet. So, yeah.
Do you prefer like an emailed resume and cover letter, or do they prefer the hard copy in the mail?
At this stage, I really do like hard copies from 1Ls, and the reason is that nobody's going to get invited immediately. So you might as well have a very professional presentation in hard copy, have your package complete, writing sample, resume, cover letter, explaining your geographic interest if you're going somewhere that's not apparent. Okay.
Include a writing sample even in the first.
I would include a writing sample because then, again, we're slimming down the process for everybody. You're going to go in a stack that's complete. That's a complete application. I don't have to write you for anything. We don't have to ask you for anything. It's all there, and we know when you're coming. All that's left is to invite you in. Yeah.
What's an appropriate length for a writing
sample? 8 to 10 pages. And if it's an excerpt, a little cover on the top that explains the excerpt is very desirable. You know, if you're going to pick up in the middle of an argument that you've written, you know, and there's no explanation, it's really kind of challenging. Lawyers don't have a lot of time. My lawyers read everything. They're very, very diligent about writing samples. And so that's not true everywhere, but you want to read for the highest standard, which would probably be me. So I'd be careful of that. Read it and read it and read it, and then have somebody else read it for the typos, because you'll stop seeing them after a while. Since we're talking about writing samples.
So we already have a pen, so I don't care.
I got it. I remember.
Does it matter if we have it on resume paper or on just plain paper?
You know, I wouldn't spend a lot of money, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I wouldn't put it in one of those fancy folders, because I get those once in a while, not as much as I used to. They're going to go in the trash, and they cost you money. But spend that money on nice paper or a nice professional presentation. Again, you don't know, the email, you know, might change format on its way from you to me. And so it's kind of all over the place and isn't professional looking. And nobody's going to invite you in. I'm sorry to say this. This may happen next semester, but it won't happen this semester. Nobody's going to invite you in immediately. So you might as well use that time, that extra time when people are collecting these resumes to make it look beautiful. Yeah.
About references, which is that something we should come listed or just be prepared to give if they want, or should we forward that kind of thing along with the initial packet?
Everything you can do to make your package complete, you should do in the initial mailing. And not everybody checks references, especially for 1Ls, but if you have them and they're good ones, or you have a letter from someone, put it in there. Yes. Now they're asking questions. Hi.
How much emphasis do you place on having another letter that's covered?
Very much. That's a great question.
How critical is it that we get the
resume cover letter in on the first?
You can. Let's go back to the tailored to the firm. And then I'll come to you. If you place in your cover letter a line that says, I'm very interested in your IP practice, and a firm has two IP lawyers, that's really going to hinder you. Because we're going to say, well, I'm never going to see this person because we're not going to hire junior lawyers into this group. And you can take this and put it into an employer, or, you know, anytime you get really specific, you better be sure of your facts. Okay? And make sure that what, if there's a practice area that you're mentioning that you're very interested in or anything like that, that it is tailored to the firm very specifically. Okay? And then, remind me.
Oh, the question was, how critical is it?
Oh, the December 1st. I'd really rather you worried about your finals. If it's a choice. It depends on where your applications are going. I want to give them at least a week before you're going to be in the vicinity, if that's one of the issues, but grades are more important.
Yeah, I really just meant, like, you know, if you wait a week, that, you know, that means 7 days of applications come in and your goes on the bottom of the stack. I mean, is that going to hinder you?
My office, they go on the top, but if, again, they're putting resumes together and looking at candidates all at once, and they're going to be coming in piecemeal, so they're going to be looking at you. This is probably the best time of all for you to be analyzed as an individual on your resume. So you want the package to be right, you want your finals to be good. Waiting a week should not hinder you, really. Because this, again, this process takes a long time. Many places are going to wait for grades. You know, of course, you want to, it's key to be there at a time when they can see you and have it in time for you to make that, you know, make their schedule. Okay. Yes? Oh, good, I get exercise. A suggestion would be, if you're going to be in two cities, and you're going to be in both?
I might be interviewing in three different cities, actually.
Wow. And you're going to be present in both, in all three?
Well, I'm going to be making trips to three cities.
Okay. And you're not sure when?
Exactly.
Okay. I would say that I'll be traveling to your vicinity between the dates of. Anything specific is better than nothing. Okay. Woohoo! Finally woke up. Yay! All right, follow-up calls. Again, that two-week, that magic two-week number, you probably will get a response in, we're still interviewing, or we'd like to wait for grades, but you'll get some information. I don't know about you, but I want to know something. I know you guys are desperate for information, and you want to get that information, and you call a point person, and you ask them, where are you in the process? I know you're probably interviewing several people. Are you going to wait for grades? Although you could have asked that person during the interview, and then you'll already know. And see where you are, and you'll get some feedback. It'll be interesting to hear what you get. And again, it's something that will help you because you'll have more information about the firm or the company. Again, the 1L process is a long one, so you may have to make a few of these calls. Don't please connect with your interviewing lawyers or the judge. Connect with your point person at this stage. I haven't had anybody do that, but in talking to other schools, I've heard that people do make a nuisance of themselves, and that's not a great idea, especially when you're talking about your interviewers, unless that one of your interviewers is the point person. At this point, you're going to go back to addressing primarily the recruiting manager, the HR manager, whoever it is that you're talking to at that entity. All right, if you don't get yeah.
If we have specific contacts, like, with the partners, or, so, for example, if we know them, or if we have, like, a professor who, from undergrad, who's very close to them, or people we've worked with in the past, how do you utilize that without it looking to the hiring partner or other people, like, you're trying to circumvent the process?
By copying them.
Okay.
And we all know you're going to do that, when we don't like it is when we are blindsided. So if you CC, in fact, you might even want to write directly to the recruiting manager and CC your contact.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
If we're sending hard copies, then we don't need to let you know that we're also sending a hard copy to a partner, for example, in the firm as well.
I would recommend that you do, and I would put the CC at the bottom of the letter, CC so-and-so, John Smith, okay. Sally Green. Yeah, so then we know. You've done that. It just makes a huge difference in how we feel about your process. You know, the thing is that even if you know that person really well, the chances are that you'll get speedier attention from your point person than you will from that person. So that's why you want to always keep the recruiting manager or the HR manager in the loop, because that person is the person whose job it is to actually shepherd you through the process. Okay, if you don't get the job, again, we're talking about practice. We're talking about, you know, getting better. Make a call to your point person. This is why that person is so important. Gifts are accepted. You want to make sure that you learn something from the experience. A lot of times, the interview may have nothing to do with you. For example, if you have applied to a firm as a 1L and their summer program already has someone in it from the University of Virginia, they probably want to hire someone from another school because as a 1L, you are going to be the cheerleader on campus next fall for that employer. That means that we're going to spread out our resources. There are so many fewer jobs for 1Ls. I have, you know, if I have 20 2Ls, I might hire one or two 1Ls. So that comparison pretty much is across the board as far as the number of jobs. You should try to get a legal job of any kind. It's going to look great on your resume. It doesn't have to be Claire Gottlieb the first year as your first year. Everybody understands how tough that is. But ask the point person for help. Is there something, if in fact it is the interview, if there is something that you could have done better, wouldn't it be great to find out? And usually if you ask, you'll get some feedback. I probably wouldn't do it in an email, and the reason is that they wouldn't want to put anything like that in writing. But verbally, they might give you some tips. So it's a difficult call, but it would be very useful to you. Okay. All right. When you do get, yeah.
What sort of odds should we anticipate? How many people do you interview? How many people do you hire?
Odds? Okay. Anticipating the odds to get a job, it really is case by case. It's hard for me to give you a statistical number. Everybody's different. Again, it could be one or two out of 20 jobs. It could be that the firm didn't do well, or the whatever the entity is didn't do well hiring two L's, and they want to fill the class so there's critical mass, so they want to hire more. They could be targeting a certain school. They could be targeting, you know, that's why I say it's very difficult for me to give you specific odds at this stage. Just get great grades and your odds go up. They do. I hate to say that. Anybody else on that? Okay. When you get the job, be professional all the time. It is an 11-week interview. It never stops. It doesn't stop at the bowling alley. It doesn't stop at the ball game. It doesn't stop at the lunch counter. It doesn't stop at the reception desk. It doesn't stop when you're giving your secretary an assignment. It is an 11-week or 10-week or 12-week or 8-week interview. Now, does that mean you have to be stiff and formal and everything? No. It means that if you've done your job process, search process correctly, and if we've done our part correctly, then it's a great fit and your comfortable self is comfortable in the environment, and that's great. But if you ever have a question in your mind about whether or not to do something, please don't do it. It is a very small community. It really is. Even in the largest, New York, you know, all of those communities are small, the legal communities. And those things follow you. Believe me, there's some that have made history. And they get on the internet, and oh my goodness, that's very sad. I could describe many career... I actually had a year ago summer, who kept sending me his career-limiting moves. So if I spill coffee on the partner's shoe in the lunchroom, is that a career-limiting move? Is that career-limiting move number one or number 10? No, it's not a career-limiting move. But be careful. Just think about it. Take the high road. Always take the high road. Don't criticize. You know, the whole point is to get a job offer. Once you get a job offer, if you hated the place, you can say no. But if you don't get a job offer, then you're going to have a really tough time getting the next job offer. It takes down your possibilities quite a great deal. The legal community is very, very, very small. You look around, you're going to be colleagues for the rest of your lives. Some of you will be each other's clients. Okay, be nice to each other. Hopefully you'll be at a workplace that's not competitive, and so you can just do your best and help each other get through. Some of you might be in a competitive workplace where there aren't enough jobs to go around. We don't do that. We only hire as many people as we're going to give offers to, and then it's yours to lose, but that doesn't happen everywhere. So look around. Be kind to each other. Be careful with your job search. End up in a place where you'll be successful, and you'll make the employer very, very happy. Do I have any other questions? I have pens left. Thank you for coming to... one more.
Do you have any specific advice for those applying to all the markets?
Brian Cave. That's our largest office. specific advice such as...
Are there any social norms that would be significant?
Social norms. That's a great question, actually. Social norms in smaller markets. Whereas Phoenix, which you could describe as a smaller market, could be described as more casual, St. Louis, which is a smaller market, might be described as more formal. So that's one thing. If you're interested in St. Louis, it is a little bit more old-fashioned and formal. You know, we wear open-toed sandals and backless sandals in Phoenix, and we don't do that in St. Louis. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Otherwise, you know, it's a small community, and you probably can make most of the community your target for jobs. Are you from there?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Make sure you plaster that everywhere.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah.
If you give the firm that we just come in, if you already have plans for that week, how long can you put off
So the question is, if a firm asks you to come in on a specific date and you can't make that date, well, that's why when you make an application, you want to be very specific about what your timetable is. If you're going to be in a community at a certain time, certain dates, you need to tell them that up front. If somebody schedules an interview with you on that day and you already have an interview, just tell them that. I already have an interview at that time. Could we make it another time while I'm there? Okay, and that's fine. But that's why you want to be in that pile where their application's complete. They know when you're coming. All they have to do is schedule your interview. Okay. Who else? Yeah?
It was brought up sort of briefly earlier. Will we be expected to provide
online? Not typically. We're pretty trusting. You want to make sure your activities and your grades or your, you know, any distinction you have in undergrad is mentioned. But I want to make sure, you know, do I want undergrad transcripts? Some might. I'd have them. Again, that's one thing I wouldn't probably bother to put in my initial package because so few people would ask for it. But I'd have them ready. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah. Well, it depends on who you're applying to. The question was if you have an interest in a specific practice area, should you place that in your application materials? Again, when you're online and research, you can see the employers and what they do. And if that's really, if you're really committed to that, and that's what I would only apply to employers that offer that and where you know you'd have an opportunity to do that. It limits your job search at this point. And you might change your mind. I have summers change their mind 3 times in the course of the summer internship program, so you know it could happen. Anybody else? Thanks so much for coming today. I really appreciate seeing you all. Have a great semester. Good luck. Good luck. I want to know you all got jobs.